Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom. Welcome to You Mean Them, everybody. My name is Brendan Weatherby. Welcome to the idea of a show. This is a podcast. We're recording for podcasts. There's a woman sitting behind me. I usually don't have a woman sitting behind me because I think it's very rude for women to stare at my backside. It's not a very fun backside. It's a medium backside. I got the medium. There's nothing wrong, per se, with my backside, but it's not like attractive. You're not like, ooh, I got to get that butt. It's just a medium Midwestern butt. Anyways, that's not why we do the show. The reason why we do the show is I like to bring on fascinating people to talk about fascinating things. And the woman behind me is a poet. Now, I don't like poetry. And I go to slams. I go to poetry readings. And they're horrible, horrible things. Now, the woman behind me is actually talented. That's why she's on the show. And she is part of a poetry team, I think, at this point. We're going to talk about that later. This is my time, Natalie. Jesus Christ, Natalie. Always interrupting me. The reason why I know Natalie is because we do this show called 8x8 at the Looking Glass Lounge, which is very similar to the Wonderland Ballroom. And it's 8 performers doing 8 minutes each. It's usually like 4 stand-up comics, 1 or 2 poets, 1 or 2 storytellers, and a musician or two. And one of my favorite moments ever at 8x8 was when there was a fight. There was a man on stage saying like really controversial statements about the woman he loved. And the statements were so controversial that a fist fight broke out 20 feet from the stage during a poetry reading. And that's when I realized that I'm in the right business. And all this show is tonight, we're just going to talk about fights at poetry readings, why we do what we do, and we're going to have a good time together. Listen, guys, it's only been week 2 of Yeezus. I'm still in the Yeezus mode. I'm sure you're sick of hearing Yeezus. All I have to say is don't judge him, Joe Brown. It's a great line on Yeezus. Listen to it. It's on track 1. I highly recommend it. Last night, I was lucky enough to convince 5 people that had not heard Yeezus that Yeezus is Pretty Hate Machine 2.0, and they all believed me. I was really intoxicated from alcohol in my body, though, so I'm not sure if that's actually what happened. But yeah, tonight's going to be a fun show. It's going to be an intimate show, and the sun will slowly set, even though it's the longest day of the year. My friend Ned Hepburn actually tweeted a very funny statement today. Anytime you have to hear Paula Deen release 2 statements of the day, it already feels like the longest day of the year. So In honor of Paula Deen, I decided to have my friend Natalie here. So, Natalie, I'm going to hand you this microphone, and we're going to start an interview. Is that okay?
Yep, we're fine.
There we go, everybody.
Hi.
Natalie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm super excited. I've been looking forward to this for years.
That's sad.
Years.
That's really sad. You're a very, very talented poet.
Thank you.
And I met you through a storyteller.
Scott Schrake.
I met you through S.M. Schrake, yes.
He's one of my favorites.
Who now only wants to be referred to as Schrake. I don't know if you heard this.
No, I still call him Scotty.
Now, Natalie, your name is Natalie E. Illum.
E, right, middle initial.
Should I always say E when I introduce
you?
Yeah,
if you just say Natalie Illum, it makes me feel like my parents' daughter instead of a performer. We throw in the middle initial, it distinguishes things.
Natalie, is your actual middle name something that starts with an E?
Yes.
What is it?
Elizabeth.
Ooh, that's a good middle name.
It is.
Do you wish you were Elizabeth N. Illum?
No. I was born in the 25th anniversary of the Queen's coronation, and my aunt was born the year the Queen was coronated, and my family is British. So there's always, like, the firstborn daughter always has the middle name Elizabeth in my family. So I actually take it very seriously.
Well, that's silly.
I know.
That's nice and silly. Now, you're a poet.
Uh-huh.
First question, why?
Because I am too emotional and I can't afford therapy. No, actually, there's a serious answer. I grew up listening to Joni Mitchell.
Okay.
And I had very few friends, like no friends. And I didn't understand all of the lyrics that she was supposed to be telling. So this was in elementary school. I would sit there with a dictionary,
yes,
and like look up words like nebulous,
okay,
and tungsten.
Okay.
Because these were lyrics in her songs. And I decided that she was very poetic and that I wanted to be her when I grew up.
Well, Joni Mitchell is a musician.
I know, but they can't tell because I'm on a podcast, right? But I have spastic cerebral palsy, so my dad got me a guitar when I was 12, and I couldn't figure out how to hold the thing, let alone frickin' play it.
Why not put it in drop D tuning and play grunge rock and roll music?
Because I didn't even know what that was.
I could teach you. Do you want to learn how to play guitar?
Sure.
I could teach you Everlong by the Foo Fighters in like 4 minutes. That is a song. Give it up for the idea of a song by the Foo Fighters. I could teach you any Nirvana song. Do you hate your dad?
Yeah.
There you go. Let's get to that.
I'm going to do a poem about my dad.
Now, that's one of the reasons why I like you. I like you because your dad recently passed away.
He did.
And then... Not, I don't like you just for that reason.
I hope not, yeah.
You went on 8x8 and you did a wonderful poem about your father.
Which we'll do in a minute.
Yeah. Which was not romantic in the least way. It was not, you weren't wistful in any way.
No, the funny thing is that I actually wrote that poem about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Imagining his death.
So you were like really excited when your dad died.
I was really surprised because the way in which I expected him to die, which was this like slow, prolonged, rather romanticized thing.
Yes.
That we were expecting did not happen. He just collapsed like any other human being. He had internal bleeding and aneurysm. And actually, I was home for Father's Day and we got his autopsy report.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading through this autopsy report, and it turns out my dad's like organs, his brain, his liver, like everything except his heart were entirely normal. And I was like, hey, wait a second.
Now, are you saying this because your father had a problem with substances?
Well, substances, but just metaphorically. Like, he was such this huge, like, dark figure in my life. And
yeah.
It turns out that, like, his body was the same as any other 68-year-old body, minus the heart attack. Like, I was a little disappointed, I'm not going to lie.
James Gandolfini sadly passed away this week. What hurt you more, the passing of your father or the passing of James Gandolfini? We talked about this before the show. It's okay. We're on the same page. It's okay.
I have to say, in this moment, I'm a little bit sadder about Tony.
That's
I
right. That's the right answer. That's the right answer.
I have like 8 weeks, though. 8 weeks. 9 weeks. 9 weeks.
Nine
today.
Weeks to get over a parent that helped rear you for 2 days to get over a guy that you never met.
Exactly.
Perfect. That's why you're a poet.
Awesome.
Now, you joked earlier that you don't see a therapist. Have you ever seen a therapist?
Oh, of course. Actually, one of my favorite stories is my parents dropped me off. I went to school at Mary Washington College, and they dropped me off, and they took their U-Haul back to Long Island, where I'm from. And I literally, like, watched them pull around the corner, and I knew they weren't coming back. And I, like, went over to the health services and found like the psychology department and was like, hi, I need therapy.
That's
like,
good.
Even before school started.
That's
was, like,
proactive.
I need a counselor because they wouldn't let me see a therapist growing up. They told me I wasn't allowed. I asked.
Why? Why weren't you allowed to see a therapist?
Because they're British and we don't talk about our
problems. I thought British people were just whatever. Do whatever you want.
No.
Really?
Not my parents.
Are you 100% British?
I'm not 100% British. My mother is 100% British and Scottish. My father's like British, Dutch, and Italian.
Very white. You're a very white lady.
I am so white.
You're a very white lady.
So white.
One of the things I like about you.
That's why I date brown people.
And your poetry is that you talk a lot about alcohol.
I do.
And substances.
I do.
And you talk a lot about intercourse.
I do. We can do all of that, yeah.
How are you comfortable doing this?
Here's what I'm comfortable with. It's not all for shock value because I feel like that would be cheap, right? But again, you guys can't see me, but I have spastic cerebral palsy. I walk with crutches. So I feel like when I get up on stage, my job is to change people's minds about not necessarily the way that I look. I'm more concerned with what people do the way they see when they see someone who looks like me, right? So mm-hmm. I have 5 minutes or 30 minutes or 3 minutes to change your mind. So I try to use universal topics, and somehow that comes out to intercourse, drug abuse,
yeah, yeah.
and alcohol,
yeah.
mixed in with dating or, you know, my dad or daddy issues, whatever. And my job is to just change people's minds. And thankfully, I'm now doing that on a national level.
Yeah, let's get to that. You're doing it's the National Beltway Poetry Slam team.
Almost.
Yeah. What did I get?
There is a local DC team called the Beltway Poetry Slam Team.
Yes.
And every year, a team that represents DC under the Beltway venue goes to nationals.
Okay.
So this year, I am on the team, and this year I am the Grand Slam champion of the Maryland, DC, Virginia area, which basically means that I'm in charge of the team.
That's pretty good.
It is. And then we go to Boston, and last year we finished 14th. The year before that, we finished 7th. And this year, we're winning. Otherwise, 4 other people are going to die in Boston, and I will leave them there.
That's good. No, yeah. That's great. Now, okay, what's the next step in this?
The next step is right now we have the team set. We just decided the team in early May, right after my dad died. And right now we're rehearsing about 6 hours a week, and we go to Boston from August 12th to August 17th to decide who the team national champion is.
So in theory, you could be the national champion, but we're in a holding.
We're in a holding pattern until August 18th. Yeah.
Are you worried? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
I am extremely excited. This is actually the first year that I've been on a national team for DC. I do a lot of what we call indie competitions.
Okay.
National Slam is set up just like the Olympics. So I've been like the women's representative for DC. I've been like the international representative for DC, but I've never been on the DC team. So I'm really excited to lead the team. I'm nervous because, you know, we come from a variety of different backgrounds. We have a couple of really young, like this is their first time out of the gate, and I've been doing slam since 2008. Mm-hmm. So they make me nervous, but, so far, they're listening to me, and that's fantastic. Really all I care about.
That's fantastic. You're a talented person. Some of the people here haven't heard you. I know everyone on the podcast hasn't heard you. Why don't you do one now, and then we'll chat, and then you'll do another one. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You want to stand?
No, I'll just sit. I was going to do a piece about gun violence, but I'm really not feeling that. So I think I'll do what happens when I go online dating and then break up with the person. This is the poem for that.
Oh, really quick side note. I don't know how to snap. Is that offensive to poets? I'm not joking.
No.
We had a poet this on Monday, and I don't know how to snap. But I started clapping. I'm the only guy clapping, and there's like 30 people snapping.
What we're going to do, like, there's a poetry thing where if you like a line, you can snap. You don't have to snap. You don't have to clap. We could do that. We could do that later. But I lost the ability to snap with the
You hand. Just snapped.
I know, but I broke a finger. And
but you just snapped. I heard
as
it.
As a poet, I lost the ability to snap for like a year. It's okay.
All right.
All right. So this poem is called Houdini. It's based on a date that I went on and then a subsequent relationship. 48 hours before I met you, I burned my foot, turned my toes purple, and swore off boiling water, and you told me it was the best excuse for getting out of a blind date you'd ever heard. Welcome to my life, I said. I'm full of accidents, but you were some kind of Houdini. Erased my scar with an easy kiss, fixed my crooked spine with the sleight of your hand. At night, you wrapped your arms around me like iron chains, turned my waist into an anchor. But 3 months later, you disappeared. I know the word promise, it's an illusion, but promise love and you will fill whole auditoriums with lonely. You can still look for me in the front row wearing sequins every time you come back into town with your sequins and your handcuffs. You make me believe in magic again, Harry. I'll let you throw daggers at my heart just once. Bend that time for me. Prove we were real.
That's good. See, now people are, for the people in the room, people are clapping, people are snapping. Sorry. Okay. Handcuffs line.
Yes.
Fiction, reality.
Reality.
All right, that's cool. That's cool. No, I was always wondering about that. Like,
Houdini used handcuffs, right?
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if it was fiction or reality here. We're
reality.
Good. Okay, okay. Yeah. I don't feel comfortable asking the next question. Okay.
Go ahead.
No. You got one more?
I do, but I mean, I'm going to do that poem about my dad. So
we could talk after that. It relates to the next question I have, and I know that sounds sick, but it kind of makes sense. It makes sense.
All right, are you ready?
Yes. What's the name of the poem?
Blueprint.
This is called Blueprint. Wait, what was the name of the last poem?
Houdini.
Houdini. And you like one-word titles?
Sure.
I do. Kanye likes one-word titles, too.
All right.
I'm a big... Wait, you like Kanye?
Yes.
Good, because you almost got kicked off the show. Here is Blueprint.
Think of how it starts. My father can count cards. Once he cheated the house out of so much blackjack that they threatened to kick him and his teeth out. Good thing he always knew when to walk away, and by morning his wallet was as red as his bloodshot eyes, and I am my father's daughter. You can call me a slot machine. If you pay me enough attention, I will give you all three of my hearts, spill my insides, and then watch you walk away to the next pretty thing. My father is an engineer. He loves blueprints and right angles, machines that can be fixed. I am my father's daughter, but my body cannot be fixed. No matter what he builds, he will never design something better for me than a wheelchair. I inherited his cheekbones, but not his poker face. I've never seen him smile so wide, but for a straight flush. I know how he protects his poker chips like children. I am my father's daughter. I told those bookies he was never home. I'd fold his losing lotto tickets into sloppy paper cranes, just hoping he'd notice and wish on something other than dice. But every time I'd ask him how you build a house of cards, he'd refuse, head to the racetrack and lose everything on the horse with the prettiest name. But of all the games in the casino, I prefer roulette. There's no math to it. Even when the ball is weighted, the house might not win. Even when that bar pours a really good shot, you might still leave standing. My father taught me that. When your wallet is empty, the way you walk out of that room is everything, and I am my father's daughter. Still mesmerized by the neon of an open bar sign, always looking for the easiest way out of our failures, my father is drowning in nicotine. Odds are the cancer will beat him before the dealer. I reach for my Xanax the way my father, he reaches for his inhaler. We both have chests that choke us. Believe our hearts are more black than red, but my father taught me when your body and your bank account, they're going bankrupt. You should still reach for jackpot, you know. There's always a chance. You could still win. Thanks.
That's good. I like that one a lot. You're very good.
I'm still not able to do that poem in the past tense.
Why would you change it, though? It's a piece of art. Why would you fuck with that?
I don't know. I mean, because when
you
I
know poems could be lies. You know that, right? Like, you don't have to be true about this stuff.
I do know that.
Well, here's why I mentioned the dirty sex stuff. Like,
that's fine.
The first poem, you mentioned handcuffs. You refer to yourself as a slot machine in the second poem. Your father had to have seen you perform that poem.
Actually, you know what? It was the craziest thing. My father died on April 26th.
Get over it. It's been like a month and a half.
Jesus Christ. But I went up to New York and I did this show with Reggie Cabico. And my brother was there. And I did this poem. And he was like, you know, we really have to get Dad to hear that poem. He's never heard a poem of mine, never read a poem of mine. So we were trying to like figure out like how we could get him to go from Long Island to New York, but it's been recorded in like different poetry slams. So he was like, maybe, you know, I could just get him to watch the computer. And we were trying to figure that out. And then he passed away. So I wound up doing the poem at his wake.
No, but that's horrible. That's amazing.
No, that's
so inappropriate.
That was the
I love
only
it.
Thing I could think to do.
That is so great. I love that. You are a true artist. That is awesome. I'd like to also point out that you are a Lady Gaga fan.
I am.
So the poker thing totally makes sense
it
to me.
It does.
You're very, very talented.
Oh,
if you are you gonna do you have a book?
I don't have, I mean, I have like out of print chapbooks from grants. I'm in anthologies, but mostly just, I mean, I mostly just tour live.
We got to get you a book. Call it Horse with the Prettiest Name. That's a great line in your poem. Okay. I need you to pick a number between 60 and 61. This is from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD, a truly awful book.
61.
61. Here we go. This is an incredibly long question. I will tell you when it's over. When someone you like has much stronger feelings for you than you can reciprocate, do you push them away for your own good, tell them how you feel and let them decide what to do, ignore the matter and enjoy yourself, or something else? If roles were reversed, what would you like the other person to do? End of question.
Ooh, well, when roles aren't reversed, I ignore them and just put everything in a poem, and... because nothing is sacred in my world. And when roles are reversed, I totally expect them to tell me how they feel, and then I expect to fall in love with them.
That's good.
All right.
That's good. You're cool. Very good. You got any plugs? You got a show coming up in D.C.?
This Tuesday, the Beltway Poetry Slam. We're the last Tuesday of every month, and this particular Tuesday, since we've just decided on who the team is, it's called the New Stuff Slam, and everybody that gets up is not allowed to have ever done that poem again. So unlike me, where I've done my dad poem like 50,000 times.
And it's a really good poem.
Thank you. But I'm not allowed to do that. So it means if you come on Tuesday at the Fridge DC.
There you go.
At 7:30 p.m. for only $5. Everybody who's slamming will be doing new material, which is amazing.
I know what you just said is true, but it sounds like dirty sex. Thank you so much for doing all this. Right. I really appreciate it. Please put your hands together for Natalie E. Illum, everybody. Coming to stage is a very funny woman. She hosts her own show. It's called the Maria Alexander Show. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Maria Alexander, here we go. Take a Maria, how are you?
Oh, God, I'm a little perturbed, to be honest with
Why?
You.
Why? Why?
Not
perturbed?
That performance. Okay. I want to say it was amazing.
That was good.
You're amazing.
Yeah, she's good.
Just lately, there's just been, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe in my own skin, Brandon.
Now, when you, why?
There's a stabber in our neighborhood on the loose.
There is a stabber. You live in the edge of Petworth, Columbia Heights.
Right in his, like, praying area.
And there's a gentleman... In theory, there's one guy
they
stabbing.
Think it's one guy.
He's a gentleman. He's a gentleman stabber. He's a gentleman stabber.
He just walks around, you know.
He's got
just
a top hat and a monocle stabbing ladies.
From the back, always.
From the back.
Multiple shallow stabs, okay? Like, wait, one woman reported 30 to 40 stabs.
Oh, my God.
And then if you scream loud enough, he runs away, if that's any comfort.
Well, that's kind of... Actually, we're doing a public service here. Now, if a gentleman's about to stab you 30 times,
scream sooner. Why would they wait? I was a little surprised.
Now,
she's like, I just froze. Scream right away, maybe.
Why are you worried about this?
It's not even...
Why worry? Why? Nothing bad could happen on that mile and a half walk
you
have from the
it
train.
It bothers me that he doesn't stab to kill. I think it's weird to get... To get stabbed 30 to 40 times and not die. I'm a little upset about that.
What's better, getting stabbed 30 to 40 times? Fine. Not even a hospital visit. Just like 3 Band-Aids. Or dying from one really kick-ass stab.
Yeah, I'd rather just die.
I'm with you on that one.
It's just, you know, it's like he's just that angry. Like, what bothers me is that I'm afraid of another human being's state of mind.
Yes.
Seems like everybody's just going off their fucking... rocker lately, and in my mind I try to make sense of the world. Like, I want to love people, you know. I'm in a very loving state right now. Generally.
Why
I think it's hormonal, to be honest.
Okay. we all go through stuff.
I think I'm just like peaking. Like, I think I'm just...
You're peaking for sympathy? Like, peaking in terms of what?
In terms of amorous feelings in general, and it translates to like how I feel about other human beings.
That's good.
Yeah, it's been really nice, mostly. Yeah, I just feel like really open and comfortable in my own skin for the first time ever.
And now this man wants to take your skin and stab it 30 times.
Yes!
That's not comforting at all.
No.
When did this start happening? This is a true thing, by the way.
This is true.
This is a true thing.
We're recording history. He's already known as the Northwest Stabber.
We're currently at the 1100 block of Canyon. These stabbings have taken place near the Columbia Heights stop?
It's been kind of Petworth, Allison Street, and bleeding into a little bit in Columbia Heights.
So for the listener at home, it's like four blocks to the north and here.
But he
like,
might roam. You know, sometimes, you know, a creature
stabbers are good at roaming.
Out-hunt, yeah. You know, his yeah. territory and yeah. go elsewhere.
Do you like the show Dexter?
I've only seen like one or two episodes.
It's a great
so
show.
Can't comment.
I actually have some actual advice for not you, but for everyone listening
okay.
at home. How do you walk home? Like, what are in your hands?
I like to clench my fists tight, and I hold sometimes a weapon when I want.
Okay, that's okay. What kind of weapon?
I'll pick up like a jaggedy rock or like a brick or a stick.
You're way too dependent on finding a jaggedy rock or a stick. Well, here's the thing. These are called keys,
yeah.
right? This is sadly true. I used to be a rape victim advocate. Now this is the
Why?
Show.
Why? Why is sad? But come on.
This is
nice.
Because if you have to do this, it's fucking horrible. All right.
You knuckle up your keys.
You
key
knuckle
like
up your keys. It's completely legal. Holding mace in a lot of states is illegal. If you knuckle up your keys and you stab somebody in the fucking face, they're going to have a
fuck yeah. I would totally
face.
Do that.
That's what we're talking about on this show now. How to stab people.
No, but I have a tip.
That want to stab you.
I'm going to actually tape a baby picture of myself to the back of my own head and put underneath a sign that says, do not stab, do not rape. I'm hoping it'll disarm the person.
Hopefully, in theory, that's
in
a...
In theory.
But do you really want to have that negative energy on your back at all time? Please don't rape and or stab me.
I think it's going to be a cult, like an art piece. I think it's going to draw attention.
But you're not an art piece. You're a human being.
I'm an art piece. How dare you,
On Brick? Stage, yes. But do you really want that? Like, no, this is a horrible thing. Now, do you think this guy's a stand-up?
Maybe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's angry with
I
women.
I got, like, three He's guys in my head right
very
now.
Very angry with women.
Have
He's
an
like,
idea who this is.
I want to be inside you, but I can't. This is the only way.
All these guys have done the show before. Listener at home, go back and try to figure out who I'm thinking of. Has this changed? This is a sad topic. Has this changed your habits?
Not yet. I've
Good.
Only found out about this last night, in fact.
You found
yeah.
like, people around there was
the last
a,
attack was Wednesday. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're really giving the information we need.
Absolutely.
There was a guy, when I saw you earlier before the show, I thought that you were talking about the man who was sentenced to stabbing women in the
no,
butt.
No, not the butt slasher.
There's
no.
a butt slasher that was just sentenced. So
who would want to harm this butt, Brandon?
Well, now it's an audio podcast, number one, and I'm a married
ladies, who would slash this butt?
Don't no. say that because now you've just created a phrase.
What? Who would slash this butt?
Yeah.
We're slashing prices. We're slashing butts.
Slashing asses. That's when you have sex with a lady from behind. I'm going to slash the butt.
Oh, jeez.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Maybe. I like, listen, I
No, no one likes that. No, that's a shitty dad situation there. No. Call back to Natalie E. Illum's wonderful poetry. That's okay.
Let me tell you something. I have a lot of very slutty thoughts lately, and it's very conflicting.
Why are
for
you
me.
Why is that conflicting?
Because I was raised as a good, chaste child in the Soviet Union, Brandon. And
but you are in America.
I am now.
There you go.
Now I'm becoming very, you know, it's but still conflicting.
Why?
When you're taught, I don't know. I was taught to be, you know, a modest, proper lady.
You're a pretty modest lady.
And now I'm peaking hormonally super hard, and I have impure thoughts all the time. And
you never had impure thoughts before?
Not like this.
So you're just catching up to the rest of America.
Not this vividly.
What's a vivid, horrible thought you've had that you probably don't want to talk about on mic?
It's not. I don't think, like, me logically, like, I know, I accept the fact that, you know, it's normal and healthy
of
for
course.
Women to have these thoughts. But still, it surprises me, like, the urgency of them. Like, every man I see now, I'm like, huh. I immediately start to, like, think about, like, what it would be like and, like, da-da-da-da. And it's just, like, it's weird because I respect you. You're not a piece of meat.
Thank you so much.
But that's not necessarily what, like, my hormones think now. It's
Can't you just come to the logical conclusion of disappointing?
What?
You have sex with 90% of men. You're going to be disappointed.
Of course. I mean,
well, just go from there and then you're fine. It's 9 out of 10.
I don't act on these urges.
Then you're fine.
Yeah.
You're
so
fine.
So I'm not a slut?
No. Okay. And even if... What constitutes slut?
Well, I don't know. I was actually talking about this earlier with Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems to be of the mind that, like being sexually open and like promiscuous in and of itself doesn't make you a slut.
No, absolutely not.
It's what you're willing to do to get to that point of having sex with someone.
Like, kind of.
If like you're hanging out at a party and there's like all sorts of like dudes being drunk or something and they're like, here, like dance, like you know, just like whether you're willing to do unsavory seeming demeaning things here, to get the date.
How about this? You're only a slut. This is gender neutral. You're only a slut if you're doing things that you don't want to do to please other people.
Okay. And there you're using, you go. Snaps. And that,
not snaps, because I do that all the time. I'm married. Like, that's part of being in a relationship.
What? You give up? What hold on.
No, you do stuff you don't want to do, but that's okay. You think I ever?
So you're a slut even though you're married?
No. You think I want to fucking do the dishes? No. Does that make me a
slut? Those things.
Does that make me a slut? No, because it makes someone else happy and it doesn't degrade me.
No.
You need to have the degradation. The degradation. That if you degrade yourself in order to please someone else, that's the problem.
Right.
Oh, it fucking has something to do with sex. You're obviously not married. It all relates, man. It is all, everything relates, man. It's Zen bullshit. Okay, I read Phil Jackson's book. I understand meditation. So here's your current state of mind. You're a single woman.
Yeah. Well, I started seeing someone, I think.
You're a relatively in a relationship woman.
I'm confused.
You're a confused woman.
Yeah.
Worried about getting stabbed in the back, literally.
Yes.
By a man that probably is on your block right now as we speak.
Right.
But you might consider fucking him if he wasn't going to stab
you. If he smelled good enough, like almost.
You like Axe? Like, what are your favorite body sprays?
It's a natural
odor. Axe leather?
Please, Obsession. No.
Is it Obsession? Is that your favorite scent?
No, I don't think I have one.
You need to find a scent, girl.
Why?
We all need to have scents.
I switch scents right now. I'm wearing Juicy Couture.
No. You're both wrong. It's
smell me.
I mean, you're probably fine, but how old are you? You
don't just you turned lie. 30 you years old.
Exactly.
I don't care.
I'm 30 as well. No. It's not couture. Do you even know what couture means? I used to teach fashion. That's not what couture means.
Wow. I'm getting schooled.
I am literally
schooling
you
right now.
I used
to wear Calvin Klein Euphoria. It's
you know,
more
it's a
musky.
Good gender neutral fine scent. Calvin Klein Happy.
Happy. Okay.
Happy is a nice. It's an. Hold on. Here's why it's great. You like fucking teens. Legal teens?
No, I've never.
Calvin Klein Happy. You go to Great America. You go to King's Dominion. All the teens just on you all the time. Calvin Klein Happy. You want to go younger, but illegal. CK1. That's your
scent. Yeah, CK1 is old school. I know about that.
These wonderful women that have booed me by saying happy. I don't think they actually know what happy smells like. I think they're thinking of CK1. We're only talking
about
fragrance from here on.
She's had her own unsavory experiences, it sounds like.
Maria, I need you to pick a question. It's either 60. Here we go. Do you find shy people more sexually attractive than outgoing people, or less so?
Okay.
Not done. How do you respond to other personality types?
These are my question choices.
That's your fucking question. That's a horrible question.
That's the whole question?
I'm not lying.
Here we go. Do I find shy people more sexually attractive? Usually not.
Perfect.
You know?
Perfect.
I could elaborate.
What's
but
your ideal personality type to date Maria Alexander?
Somebody who is outgoing, but not obnoxiously so where it seems like they're trying too hard. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody who could just sort of like... be in reality. Like, my number one...
Bill Murray.
Sure, yeah. Like, just somebody who's present, you know. I my number one sexiest trait right now probably for any human being is sanity. I'm just like, oh, my God, we can agree that this stable... Like, fuck yeah. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. There's a basis.
So you and Larry David should just mate.
Probably. I am very attracted to his brain. I'm not going to lie. He and Woody Allen, like, I mean, anybody brainy, I know.
We're different people. Thanks for doing this. You actually have to go to another show.
I do.
Maria's performing tonight at the Dunes. It's a wonderful
the
venue.
Dunes.
And you should go see Maria. And you can listen to Maria where?
On iTunes, really. The Maria Alexander Show. You could, you know.
If you're listening right now and are too lazy to Google, it is linked back in the podcast. Or Bing it, everybody. BingGoogle.com. Check out Maria Alexander. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together
Thank
for the very
you.
Talented Miss Maria Alexander,
Thank
everybody.
You, Brandon.
Our next performer is someone that I've wanted to have on the show since I saw him at Funny Moms about 6 months ago. He's just really funny. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Nick Mullen, everybody. Nick, the stage is yours.
Thanks, guys. Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, guys. Yeah, I did. I changed my name to Ernie today. It's serious. So if we talk later, I'm Ernie. No more Nick stuff. This is not going to be any way where this isn't. Mostly depressing. and a lot of silence. I'm not one of those brainiac dudes that can just fucking have thoughts that people want to hear. I'm an idiot. I'm kind of an idiot. I feel like there's a war on idiots right now. There is. Because it used to be great. People like me used to just be able to say shitty things all the time. And now I walk around offending people constantly. And I don't fucking know any better. That was like the thing with like the Paula Deen thing where people are like, did you hear Paula Deen said the N-word? But if you like saw everything that she said, the N-word was the least offensive part of any of that. Like, yeah, like the N-word, like I expected the N-word. The part where, first of all, she was like, well, it was a Civil War themed restaurant. That's not real. Like, you were probably at Bennigan's. You don't like fucking, like, that's not, that's, this isn't Civil War stuff. Why would you, what a fucking horrible idea for a business. Remember that trap? Remember the greatest American tragedy of all time when the country was at war with themselves? When 1/4 of American men died? What if that came with mozzarella sticks? Like, that's, it was like, but she was fucking, she was like, I have to paraphrase. I don't remember what it was, but she was like, yeah, well, you know, they were dressed in, it was great. They all had like white suits and these little bow ties, and they all used to like tap dance around back in those days. And she said that, tap dance around, like not they tap danced. That's how they got around, was tap dancing. That was how they traveled. They tap danced their way places. But then she's like describing, she's like, yeah, I would say they were slaves. It's like, that's not what, you're not describing a slave. Like, slaves were expensive. That was an investment. You bought a slave so they would do work, not so someone would tap dance. Like, it didn't happen much. What she's describing is blackface. She's describing white people in makeup from the 40s. Like, none of that's right, Paula Deen. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if it was, what a fun idea for a restaurant. Your Angelina Jolie got her pussy removed to save Michael Douglas, right? Is that what this story was? I think. I don't know. Did I fuck it up? I got it wrong. I got this. I got the story wrong. This is weird. It's hard to believe it's already been like 6 months since I moved back here. Well, I've been like just wallowing. I didn't do shit. I had a job for a little bit, and then I had to move like back in with my mom. My mom's not said anything to me about like just not fucking doing anything with my life at all until today, when I'm like, she must be like really angry at me. And then she was like, I know you're struggling right now. And she seriously suggested this. She's like, have you ever thought about like maybe like modeling? Not for anything fancy, but you know, like Sears. Like, I could just like, I'm just gonna call up Sears and be like, hey Sears, you wanna take some fucking pictures of me in your shirt? You know, that's not for like me with a family. I don't know. Also, Mom, why not anything fancy? Why can't I? You already have, like, yeah, well, if comedy doesn't work out, I can always be a fucking Sears model, I guess. I got into an argument with somebody recently. Not an argument. It was just a drunken conversation. It was like, I'm afraid of spiders. First of all, I asked on stage one time. It was at a show, like, last week. I was like, is anybody afraid of spiders? And some drunk girl in the front is like, no! Like, I'm sure someone is afraid of spiders. But I was, like, arguing with somebody. And, like, I've had people say this to me before about spiders. They, like, mention it to me when I tell them. First of all, I'm much bigger than a spider. I could kill the spider even the biggest fucking spider in the world, I would win that fight every fucking time. It doesn't matter. So it is an irrational fear. So you're not going to be able to, like, explain to me why I shouldn't be afraid of spiders. But people always say, well, you know, spiders, they kill all the other bugs. So that they're like good. That's a good thing. But that just makes them the scariest bug. They're the apex bug. That's not, nobody's like, well, you know, murderers are kind of bad, but they rape all the other prisoners. So they're actually equilibrium. It's good for the environment. I think should allow those murderers in your house to deal with your fucking hacker problem. I don't know. That's what I'm So it's like, you know that like trope in movies where a guy gets arrested for hacking? They're like, yeah, well, it's a trope. That's what it is. It's like there's a scene in a movie where like a hacker will get arrested and they're like, you got two choices, federal prison or now you work for us. Like no one went to college. Like there's not a guy that's not hacking into shit that the government can fucking hire. I guess I could make like a Snowden reference and fucking make it all like topical. That'd be cool, right? You guys would all fucking high five me and be like, fucking politics, stuff, current events. This guy's great. The cicada's gone yet? Cicada's still happening? Haven't? Is that? I don't know. I mean,
a false positive.
Yeah. I think they were in like certain. Were you here when last time the cicadas came out?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It's fucking weird. That was the first time I had ever experienced like that when the cicadas came out the last time. What made it like weird wasn't that there were fucking bugs everywhere. It's that the local news immediately found like four dudes that are like, "Yeah, you just eat them." Like that. They're like, "You just eat them up. That's what you do with these bugs." And that was like a news story. It's like, no, you don't just eat them. Like, what do you? I wasn't worried about whether or not I could eat them. There's bugs everywhere. That's the news story. That's it. You don't need to make this more interesting. Yeah, you can eat them. There's a lot of shit you can eat. This doesn't mean you should. You can eat boogers, right? Yeah, I do that too. I pick my nose and I find the booger and then I eat that and I eat these bugs and then I'm on the news for some reason. It's like, okay, all right, cool. Yes, that's a thing going on. I don't know. I don't like nothing. The world needs to be more interesting so I can write bad jokes about it. Sail away. That's offensive. Twin Towers still on the wall?
I look at it every night.
I used to work at this pizza restaurant and it was in like California and like it was like Johnny's and then a big picture of the Twin Towers. And like They wouldn't take it down. Like, they were like, they could leave the name up there. They're like, ah, what are we going to do? Get another sign? Yes, that's exactly what you're going to do. Get another fucking sign, not remind everyone. That's on par with a Civil War themed restaurant. It's a 9/11 themed pizza restaurant. Hey, fucking, got building 7. Whoa, pizza pie. Fucking. Where's the, I want the, yeah, Tony Soprano, pizza pie. The fucking, buildings don't just collapse like that. Conspiracy theory restaurant. That'd be fun. All right, I'm gonna check my notebook. I feel like there's. Oh, this is a. I saw a fucking ad, like a Facebook like advertisement that was like, get washboard abs, and like people say that. Like, what? I don't know what the fuck a washboard is. I've never seen a washboard. It's some old piece of technology that no one's used for 100 years. So in my mind, I just like there was a thing people used to just something that looked like the middle of a man in shape. People like wash clothes on, like you get like six pack works, but stop saying washboard. Look at this fucking dude with his washboard abs and his cotton gin ass, his Victrola dick, fucking sexy bitch of a man. I'm gonna bounce my balls off his chin like I'm sending a telegraph. That's fucking be a good way to hit on a guy in shape, right? Then what? Was that? Did I ruin Victrolas for you? Okay, I guess. Can we talk? Can we
just sit down. Sit down. Okay. You're really funny. Thank you.
All right.
Put your hands together for Nick Mullen, everybody. Thank you. Nick, you've performed around the world. You performed around the country. You're very, very funny, and you've also amassed quite a bit of Twitter followers.
I do all right.
But you've also been blocked by some pretty well-known.
I am what you
Twitter
call
followers.
A social media guru.
What happened earlier this week?
What happened yesterday?
Yesterday.
Mark Maron blocked me. No.
Why
more,
did
no
Mark,
more.
What the fuck, Maron block you?
Yeah, he blocked me because he was making fun of James Gandolfini's death using swear words, and I told him to cut it out. And and then he callously sicked his followers on what... You know, appears to be a single mom from the South. It's not me as a Twitter account. So,
Nick, what is your Twitter account's handle?
It's Nick Mullen.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, what is the description of your Twitter account?
You can Google it.
It's pretty great. I highly recommend it. Do you want to talk about your Twitter photo or no?
No, I don't. Well, good. Not really. See, okay. That's the thing. It's like you get to be a piece of shit on the internet. People are like, oh, I always hated that argument when people are like, and used to happen on forums all the time where people are like, oh, you're just fucking hiding behind the anonymity of the internet. If we were to meet in real life, you wouldn't say that shit because I'd beat the fuck out of you. Well, you're hiding behind your ability to beat the fuck out of me. Like, I get to have the internet. Yes, that's you're right. I am hiding behind being anonymous online.
I highly recommend that you follow Nick. If you're listening to this show at home right now, he is currently, it's linked in the podcast description. It is actually him. Even though it does not look like him, it's him. He's a very sure funny man. Is. And unlike most people that hide behind anonymity on the internet, Nick is willing to fight for the right cause. Nick, one of the things that we do on this show is talk about a wonderful band, one of the most important American bands of the last 100 years. And that band is called Sugar Ray.
Oh, yeah.
What happened when you uttered the phrase Sugar Ray on a stage?
Okay, so I had a buddy that used to do this great Mark McGrath impression. Well, all it was, he would just go, all around the world! He would just do that. And so we would have him on fucking cue and be like, Zach, do the fucking... And he'd go, all around the world! And then that's, he would just cut it off there, and it's fucking great. And so we were drinking outside of a comedy show, me and, like, some friends, and he was doing, like, the all around the world thing, and it, like, got the attention of some bikers. And then, so we were, like, making fun of Sugar Ray, and this biker dude comes over, and he was like, man, say what you want about Sugar Ray, but Mark McGrath is a fucking badass. He's like, he's a badass dude. I'm like, no, he's fucking not. And he's like, yes, he is, dude. Mark McGrath is a fucking bad. I saw a video where a kid called him Sugar Gay, and then he was about to fight that kid. I'm like, that it's a kid. He's not. That doesn't make him a badass. And also getting mad over Sugar Gay. You would be a badass if he just laughed it off. And he's like, yeah, I am a millionaire. And then fucking like. Continued on with his fucking Sugar Ray life. So I was shitting all over Mark McGrath, and then this guy, like, I guess I didn't realize how angry he was getting. So he's like, whatever, man, just keep drinking your fucking Liquid Confidence. And he walks away, and like, this is the audience for a show that we're doing. So I'm like, oh fuck, I don't want to like piss off the audience. So I go like to go like just say, hey, don't be angry about Sugar Ray at the guy. And he won't talk to me at all. He like goes inside, and then he had this like huge like shaved head neck tattoo fucking friend, and I'm like, hey, I'm sorry your friend's upset about Sugar Ray, but I hope you guys can still enjoy the comedy show. And I offered him a beer, and he was like, why'd you fucking spit on me? I'm like, dude, I didn't spit on you. Don't be confrontational. And then he just beat the shit out of me and another dude. He beat up me and another guy. And just kept, like, he was, like, strangling me against the hood of a car. And then, like, I had another friend jump in. And I already got the shit kicked out of me. So I was like, don't beat up my other friend as well. And then the cops showed up and shit. And the cops had to break it up. And, like, the police officer, like, you know, like, very fucking serious, like takes us into our separate corners or whatever. And he's like, all right, what happened here? And I was like, okay, well, I've never met you in my entire life, correct? And he's like, no, we've never met. I'm like, okay, but I can pretty much guarantee you don't have strong opinions about Sugar Ray. And he's like, okay, yeah, that's true, I don't. I'm like, well, he does. He's like very angry about Sugar Ray. And then I was hitting an ambulance, and then we went on with the show must go on. We kept doing comedy.
So you're like a hero.
I am a hero.
Where was your friend that used to sing all around the world? Like, where was he during the fight?
Oh, hiding. Like, literally, like, hiding in the doorway. Like, not fucking... And it's funny, because it's like, it's filled with comedians. All comedians that I've known for years. There's, like, 30 comics there while I'm getting the shit kicked out of me. And all these, like, fucking... I mean, like, I would do it, too. They're all like, oh, my God, let's go inside. Like, no, nobody fucking does anything. Like, just... It's a very pussy career, I guess. If you're a pussy, then you should be a comedian because then you get your shit kicked out.
I'm not going to be able to top anything you just said. You're really, really funny. Please consider doing this show again. People could find you on the Twitter. Do you have any shows you want to plug or anything like that?
No, I don't really have anything booked.
Cool, man.
Upcoming. Oh, I run a parody of Thought Catalog called Thought Brochure.
There you go. Okay, now where can people find Thought Brochure?
Thoughtbrochure.com.
There you go.
Your thoughts are thanked.
Nick is a very funny man. Thank you so much for doing this. Like, right. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together once again for Nick Mullen.
Thank you. Ernie. It's
God
Ernie.
God damn it, you're funny.
Ernie now.
Mr. Cat and Sugar Ray riding through.